you have your Bibles, if you would, and go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 is Dale was wanting me to get here. It's a starts out a lot about government, and there's a lot of ideas and conspiracies about this whole thing. We'll just read a little bit of this, and then we'll get into it. The Bible says this: let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. So as we start this off, Paul's telling them, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. So he's saying that as people and as Christians, that we need to be subject to the powers around us. Now, by nature, Americans don't like that. My wife is Canadian. We have another Canadian here on this trip. I was with a Canadian pastor. Canada's a little different in some things in America. I can remember buying my son a toy gun for Christmas, and my mother-in-law absolutely lost her mind. I didn't think about that when I got married. I just bought him a toy gun, and I mean, the lecture I got about it, just a gift, the reason being is because over there, their view on government's a little different. And you can even trace that down to how they're handling COVID. Australia, off the charts. I used to think I could live in Australia. Now, no way. New Zealand, beautiful place. But I mean, it's just... So why is it that Americans automatically bristle up against something like that? Some people would call us renegades, or maybe that we're not even following the Bible. I know some people even go so much when you read this, and we're going to read it in just a few minutes. If you take this for face value, then what we did to the British in order to gain our independence was wrong. Because we rebelled against a higher power. Right? I mean... if you just take it at face value from what it's written, and there's never any oppositions, then we would have to go back to Britain, tell them we're sorry, give up our sovereignty, and be underneath their rule again. Because there was a legitimate government that was over the colonists. The colonists decided they didn't want those rules anymore. They rebelled against that and sought their independence. Blood was shed. They, that's why they call it tyranny, now we look at that and say, hey, God was in that. God helped it. Some people will look at that and say, that should have never happened. Because Christians should not have that role. Now, at the end of the day, we're not going to solve those problems. You're going to have to find peace of that in your own mind with what you should or should not do. That goes to do, you can take it even further about nation building, right? I mean, should we ever get involved in things like Afghanistan? So in the Bible, when you look at Paul's journey, there was a time when Paul wanted to go to a certain area and give the gospel. And I don't remember the area off the top of my mind, but you can find it in his journeys. He wanted to go to a certain area, and here's what the Bible says. And God, the Holy Spirit, would not let him go. He wanted to go. There were lost people in that area that he wanted to give the gospel to. He wanted to do it. But God said, you can't go there. Now, why would God stop a missionary for going to a certain area and giving the gospel? Because we have to understand God's at work and you can't get in the way of that. Right? Same way about Israel. I was over there, and you look at these people, you know God loves them, and you wonder, why is it that God is blinding their eyes? That's a God thing. That's not a Dave thing. And what you don't ever want to do is you don't ever want to be on the end that's getting in the way with what God's doing in their lives. Sometimes God lets a whale come, right? Now, you may look at the whale and say, boy, that wasn't a good thing, and anybody in their right mind would try to kill the whale, but not if the whale is sent by God to do something that is actually going to be helpful to us and not hurtful to us. Those are just some things to think about as we begin to unwind this a little bit. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So we know that God is in control of everything. He is not, even though this world belongs to the devil, it's not that the devil took it away from God. That did not happen. God has allowed that to happen. We know he's going to beat him. It's not like the devil's holding God hostage with this world. He's allowing that to happen. He's going to allow the devil to come out of the pit during the millennial reign. He's going to allow him to come out again. Okay? And you might think, well, why would you do that? You know, you got him in the pit. Why not just keep him there, right? But when he lets him out, you know what he's doing? People are going to have families during the tribulation period. Not you and I. We'll be in our glorified bodies. But there will be people that were alive that did not die during the tribulation. They're going to have children, and they're going to have a life around us. We're going to be down here. We're going to be ruling and reigning with God when that happens. But those people still have to have it. They're still going to have to decide what they're going to do with God. When Satan's loosed out of the pit after 1,000 years, you're going to see where their true heart is. Some are actually going to follow the devil again, right? And you would say, well, don't let him out. You can't get ahead of what God's doing, okay? You know, even in this, so he's over everything. Hitler, did God know about Hitler? Did he look down and go, whoa? Right? That was a mess. But do you know to intervene in that any sooner than what God wanted intervention in would have been wrong? Even though that was ugly? You read in that Bible, you can definitely find, no doubt, some similarities between what God said he was going to do to the Jews and what actually happened. Okay? You can't be blind to it. It's there. It even talks about there's going to be people taking their stuff and putting it in the streets and selling it. It's there. Okay? It's very clear when it talks about that they're going to be, you know, spread across the world, it happened. When you hear about suffering in the Bible that God said was going to happen to them, it has to happen to them. If he says it's got to happen, it has to happen. By the way, we know one day that our world's going to fall into chaos. You can't stop that. Right? You're not going to prolong it. You're not going to shorten it. It's going to happen when God wants it to happen. Why? Because he's in control. He's the higher power. And then here's what we got to remember. The powers that be are ordained of God. Putin, ordained of God. That the leader of China, ordained of God. You know, the president we have right now, ordained of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. It's not accident. We may not like it. But once it happens, you know what we need to do? We need to accept it. Why? Because it's from God. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that you give up trying, but he's our president now, and that's the way it is until we have another election. Why? Because that's the order that God has set up. Now, again, I'm not advocating that, because there are obvious times in the Bible when there is opposition, but it's because God's allowed there to be opposition. Okay? So, and I think that there are times when you do stand up against that. But that's just because God is leading that charge. You want to be following him when it happens. If he's doing it, then it's going to happen anyways. I honestly believe that God was behind the founding of our country, no question. I believe what they did was being led of God. And there was a group of people that revolted against the government at that time because God was the one that was leading that. When it's just simply for our own good and our own benefit and not what God's doing, then you're going to end up getting in trouble. All right? It says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. If we fight against that. Now, all right, so let's go to the Holocaust. According to the Bible, all the powers that be are ordained of God. God was used. Did God use Pharaoh? Was Pharaoh a good guy or a bad guy in Egypt? I mean, he's a bad guy. Did God use him? Yes. And in God's timing, there was a revolt against Pharaoh, and he drowned in the sea. In God's timing. Happened any sooner or any later, it would have been wrong, because what God's doing with these leaderships is he's paving the way. He's setting the stage for what's going to happen next. Do you want to go home to heaven? Do you eventually want to? I mean, how many of you are looking forward to the rapture more than the grave? Give me an amen, right? Okay. I mean, do you want it to happen? Well, if you want it to happen, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to embrace a little chaos. That's how you get there. It unravels, right? You wake up in the news and you see, whoa, we're getting ready to go to war with Russia, right? Well, we can try and stop that, figure that out. Or you can just say, okay, if God's ordaining that, then he's doing something to get to the rapture. You're going to have, well, in order to get to the tribulation period, you know what you're going to have to do? One world government, no question. We don't like that, do we? Right? So what are we going to do? Constantly fight that. The problem is you're not going to fight that. It is going to happen one day. There's going to be a one world government. And to stop that would be to stop what God's doing. So this is what he says here. He says this, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Well, that's not a really nice phrase. I get myself in enough trouble. I don't need to be bringing on myself damnation, right? What he's saying is, if you try to intervene or stop what I'm doing, there's a difference between stopping what he's doing and God having to stop because of our own disobedience. He wanted to take the children of Israel to Canaan long before they ever got there. They stopped God's plan. And you know what they did? They brought along themselves damnation. God's plan was for them to get to Canaan long before they got there. But then they stopped that. They got in the way of God. They didn't trust him. They didn't believe him. They actually fought against the ordinance of God. And because of that, they brought, God wanted them there. And you know, God had, you know, now, God could have still pushed on without them. But in his grace and mercy, because he made a promise to Abraham, you know, he goes, sticks them in the desert for 40 years. But it says that there is a punch whenever you, all right, so let's take this with our kids, tough love. You know, when your kids are at home, you know, they turn 18 years old. I had a conversation with Jonathan when he was 18, got in a little bit of trouble, and I had this little conversation with him. I told him, I said, can you afford an apartment? And he said, no, Dad, I can't afford an apartment. I said, do you have a plan? No, Dad, I don't have a plan. I said, well, there are two choices. You're 18 and you can live however you want to live, but not in this house, right? Not here, okay? I mean, you know, now, if you decide as a parent and you think, well, yeah, but I don't want him to be hungry, or I don't want him to be homeless, or I don't want him to not have money in his pocket, or I don't want him to be uncomfortable, and then you then try to get in ahead of what God is going to do, you could very well stop the prodigal son from coming home. Because in order to come home, he had to hit the pig pen. If you don't ever let him get to the pig pen, then you're subverting what God's trying to do. You're getting in the way of that, right? And it might be, hey, if you just let God do what God does, you know, and say, okay, listen, this is wrong. I just cannot. I love you, but not here. Right? And you know, like for instance, I know especially there's some older people in this room that would still do this. You know, I was always taught, you know, like if somebody wanted to come over to my house and they were not married, would you let them sleep in the same room at your house? Now, years ago, that'd be a no-brainer. Today, that water's really muddy, right? Okay? And you might say, well, I know, but I don't want to embarrass them, whatever. Well, you very well may be standing in between that little tough love that makes them stop and think, hey, you know, what brings us back to God? Being uncomfortable. If we get in the way of that process to somebody else, we can do more harm than good in their lives. And that's on a home level. I'll take that on a government level. As much as I do not want to lose any freedom that I have, I also know that to get where we're going, eventually there's going to be a generation of Americans who don't live like that. Right? I mean, it has to go that way according to that book. Now, when do you do it? I don't know. Not a politician. I'm just saying that there is some penalties from getting in the way of what God's doing. And that's basically what he's saying there. The powers that be are ordained of God. You don't want to be the one trying to stop what God is doing. Okay? Whether it's time to rise up and get a sword. You know, it's funny. I think it was in Luke chapter 22 and verse 35 through 38. Jesus tells, wait, let's go look at that real quick. You can hold your hand in Romans. I looked at this right before I came. There's a funny commentary about that that honestly made zero sense to me. Luke chapter 22 and verse 35. Okay? So help me out with this. I want you, as I read this, I want you to think about how you'd answered this, okay? Here's Jesus talking to them. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny me. All right, listen to this part. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. Now, can you explain that to me? We know that just a little bit right after that, Peter tries to take out a sword and God says no. Now, let me tell you the lame commentary I read on that before I came. All right, so it says at the end that he must be numbered with the transgressors. So here's what the commentator said this verse means. He said that the reason why Jesus wanted them to have a sword is so that they would look like renegades and outlaws so that scripture could be fulfilled. He said they were actually just play acting, and I'm going, eh. Don't buy that one. Now, I don't truly know the answer to that, but I can tell you, it wasn't so that he was setting up a stage so he looked like he was an outlaw. That's how come sometimes commentaries aren't a whole lot of good, because when you need them to tell you something, they don't. All I'm going to tell you is that if the Lord says pick up a sword, you pick up a sword. If he tells you to put one down, you put one down. There is a time to fight. I think there is a time. You know, during the tribulation period, if you take the mark of the beast, what happens to you? You go to hell. So under no circumstances do you ever take the mark of the beast. Okay? So, according to this, should I turn you in? During a tribulation period, the law says that you're supposed to have the mark of the beast. Right? If you're going to live, you're going to have to disobey that. You're going to have to go out at night. You're going to have to be smarter than them. Because he still, you know, it never says to just go turn yourself in. You don't ever see that anywhere in the book of Revelation. Does it ever say, if you don't take the mark, just go turn yourself in and die right then? It doesn't say that. You know what it says to do? It says fight. Try and stay alive as long as you can. Why? So you can tell somebody else. Now, if it comes to that point and you get caught, should you rat out everybody else who's hidden in the cave who doesn't have the mark? No. Right? And they say, hey, where are all your other church people that don't have the mark? Where do they? You're not supposed to say, well, higher power, so I'm going to go rat them out and tell them who. No. I would absolutely 100% lie and say, I don't know what you're talking about. Because I know at that moment, getting that mark, God wouldn't want that. And it's not up to me to get them caught. It's up to God to do that. So I wouldn't rat them out. I don't think God would want you to do that. If he wants to get them caught, they're going to get them caught. So it's not like you've got to give up your ability to fight to be obedient to these verses. You just want to do it in accordance to what God is doing. Sometimes he causes people to rise up. Remember Jehoshaphat? Was it Jehoshaphat? The one that said he tricked everybody into believing that they were going to worship Baal. So he told all the Baal people, he said, hey, we're going to have a really big event, and we're all going to get in here, and we're going to worship Baal. And he said, if you think so-and-so worship Baal, you haven't seen anything yet. So he told everybody they're going to have this big night of Baal worship. They all showed up. He says, now look, make sure there aren't any real Jews in this group. So his men go around and they look around, get everybody out there. And you know what he does? He goes and he locks the door. And he says, nobody leaves this place alive. And he kills every one of them in that room. Now how did he get them there? He lied to him. 100% lied to him. He said, hey, we're gonna have Baal worship, right? All right, so who knows where this is going to end up. But if they ever said, no, you can't have church, we're going to have church. If they were to come to me and say, hey, tell me who came to church today. Now you take Canada, pastors did go to jail in Canada. Right? They actually went to jail in Canada because they wouldn't do what the government said to do. And is that wrong for them to rebel against that? No. It was also not wrong, all right? Were there people during the Holocaust, although I do believe God had his hand in the Holocaust, and that should not have been intervened in until God was ready. No question, even though that sounds not nice. I still believe during the Holocaust, if you had a chance to hide a Jew, you should hide a Jew. 100%. Right? Because, you know, God's doing this, but he's also doing this. Okay? But over here, this is him. But he may want you. He may want you during that environment to trust him, go out on the limb and hide. All right? In our country, slavery was legal. And then there is this big argument over whether or not that should be. People actually broke the law and hid slaves. Should they have done that? 100%. Was God doing something at that time? Yes. We wouldn't have the country we have now. All right? That brought a lot of growing, not only to our country, but across the world. So that's what he's saying. It's not that you don't ever rise up against the government or you. Do you know what our Constitution says? Our Constitution says that if the powers to be ever quit following that Constitution, do you know what our Constitution says? It is the duty of that people to overthrow that government. All right. Well, I didn't put it there. I wasn't even born yet. So that doesn't mean you just check it at the door. But when I look at the condition of our country, I also know this. Okay, I do not look for a countrywide revival. I don't think we're going to get some of this undone. You know why? Because it can't. Because we're going that way. Right? Dispensation changed. What am I waiting for now? The trumpet. How do I get to the trumpet? Things got to unravel. In the meantime, are we going to try to survive every bit of that as we can? Absolutely. 100%. All right, let's just read a little bit more. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. So, you know, God can use a ruler. Sometimes he can use him for good, but he can also use it to do evil because he's working in that. Okay? Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God for thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. Now, this is talking about the governments. If God has ordained a government, and God has chosen to place somebody, did God love Israel? The first 400 years that they were in bondage, were they in bondage because they did something bad? No. They didn't do anything bad. And you say, God, why did you do that? What would God tell you why he did that? He said, because at the end of these 400 years, I'm going to take you and I'm going to lead you out of bondage. In order to lead you out of bondage, he has to do what? Put you in bondage. Do you know that's the time when they drowned babies in the river? Simply because God wanted them in bondage so God could set them free in bondage. Right? Now, you may not like that, but he used that. And when he used that, after 400 years and he allowed Egypt to get up to this point, he then reversed roles, and those very same people that he put in bondage, he then, you know, said, now it's time. I'm going to set you free. Now's the time. You know, they went and borrowed things from all the Egyptians. And it says that they spoiled the Egyptians, right? Did they have any intention of giving that stuff back? No. But they took everything they could, didn't they? Right? I mean, they said, hey, can we borrow this? Can I take... Because, you know, for the longest time, they were going to go out and they were going to worship and they were going to come back. And, I mean, they just said, hey, when I'm done with it, I'll bring it back. They never did give it back to them because, you know, they left for good that time. So then God now changes sides and says, now I'm going to fight. When God is fighting a government or an establishment, or that's where you want to be. When God says, hey, you need to endure this, that's what you need to endure. That's what he's saying this. He's not saying become a pacifist and preach being a pacifist. And he's not saying go out and be an anarchy to that end. What he's saying is this. Make sure you're behind what I'm doing. If it's at the time that he's allowing this to happen, then to fight that and not let it happen would be to not have the desired outcome on the other end. Okay, or get in the way. And you can take that, like, even in your kid's life, like we mentioned earlier. Okay, the next verse, it says, verse 5, wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath's sake, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. So you pay your taxes. You know, there are people that try not to do that, and they end up in jail. And you can say, hey, it's not constitutional. You can go, and you know what? Very well, maybe 100% right. But it's the powers that be. So you know what you do? You go pay your taxes because you got other things to do. Okay? What's the other things to do? We got people dying and going to hell. Right? Well, how am I going to do that if I'm locked in prison? Ken Hovind was a big creationist. I don't know if you ever heard him preach. I heard him in college. And he tried to buck the government on paying taxes. Brilliant man. Loved to hear him preach about creation. And he went to jail for a very long time trying to prove a point about taxes. That's not what I'd be willing to go to jail for. Now, go to jail because you try to sneak into China and give the gospel? Maybe. Not that. Why? Because God just said, hey, you pay tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom's due, and let God make sure you have enough in order to do that, right? So he says, Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for us. Verse 7. Render therefore to all the dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. You know, one good way to position yourself in this world is just don't get attached to it. You know, even today, I'd say anybody, if you possibly can, try to figure out how to get out of debt as fast as you can. If you've got your basic things covered, you have a whole lot less to worry about, right? I mean, if you're not up to here, because the further you get indebted to the system, you become a part of the system. You don't have to become a part of the system to be obedient, right? I mean, pay your taxes, but also don't let them tell you what it needs to look at like. You know, something that you see oftentimes, you know, it may take a whole lifetime for mom and dad to get here, and young people need to try to get there like tomorrow, and that might not be what God wants. You know, what he'd want you to do is to be, he'd want you to be as free from this society. You don't have to entangle yourself neck deep in the way they go. You know, you may still have to simply pay your property tax, but you also don't have to get head over heels in debt, because the borrower is going to be subject unto the lender, okay? You know, even things like if you take something from the government, even though you don't like that government, but you take something from that government, you're creating a little bit of muddy water there, right? I mean, so if you at one minute you're looking for the government to, you know, I mean, like for all of us, we all cash the COVID check, right? Okay, just understand, COVID checks aren't free. You know, it's this big monster that's created out of all of that, right? When he says, "Owe no man anything," you know what he's saying? He's giving you a little window there. He's saying, "Yes, this is what I'm doing." But even inside of that, there's a way that you can escape some of that. And here's some things that you can do to help you live no matter what environment I'm doing, what's going on around you. Here's some tips how to survive whatever leadership's around you. Number one, don't owe anybody anything. As quick as you can, if you need debt, get out of debt. Have a plan to go as fast as you can. Maybe structure it and say, okay, I'll scale back and maybe I'll buy this instead of that because it allows me to pay it off fast. That's just some advice that he's saying that, okay, these powers to be, you know, that's what it's going to be. But while you're doing that, here's some tips on how to survive whatever's around you. Okay, so he says, owe no man anything but to love one another. You know, we get all worked up on how to change things. Well, maybe what we ought to do is say, all right, God's in control. I'm going to trust him. Now, instead of getting angry and upset about it, I'm just going to love one another. Love people who voted against what I would want voted. You know, certainly in church, political division should never be the case inside of the house of God. People don't come here to hear about politics. Come here to hear about Jesus. That doesn't mean I'm afraid to say anything about it. This is just not the platform in which to do that. This is a platform to preach the Bible. You want, you know, politics? Listen to Fox News or CNN or whatever you choose to do, right? But because that's not going to be the answer. But being kind to everybody, that's, you know, whether they agree with you politically or they don't agree with you politically. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. And he goes over just some basic concepts of everyday life that no matter what's around us or what the government's doing, there are governments. You know, there was a senator in New England that wanted to bring back the death penalty for anybody that was caught cheating. Of course, that never made it to any kind of legislation, and I don't even know why he did it, but he did do that. I can tell you this, is that following these things, no matter what government's around you, you may be in a time of government that doesn't care about any of these things, but these things will always be important to us. It's our ticket to survive whatever's around us. And he just goes through the Ten Commandments. For thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, even if you don't agree with them. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law, and I didn't write it. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. Man, we got a job to do. I can't worry about the stock market. I can't worry about whether or not we're going to be invading Russia. I don't know any about that. And honestly, when I look at what's out there today, I don't have any confidence. But I do have confidence in this. Every power is ordained by God. I can rest on that one, right? Okay. Let's see. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. What does that mean when it says this? What do you think he's talking about? And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation near. What salvation could he be talking about for me and you? I'm already saved, so what could he be talking about? What's the next great salvation for me? Getting out of Dodge, right? You know what he says? Dave, awake out of sleep. Because your salvation is near. How many do you honestly believe that we are near to Jesus coming back? I mean, you can look out over the horizon and you can see that. And he says, Dave, it's near. Don't get caught up in all that mess. You focus on what I asked you to do. That's work for me. Okay? For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. We can't get, man, the world has leached onto Christianity unbelievably. We are so, we're dragging all kinds of weights through this world that we don't have to. Cut them loose. Easier said than done, but never quit trying. Goes on to say this, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. And I'll tell you what, when I was in Bible college, I learned this poem, two hearts beat within my chest. The one is foul, the other blessed. The one I love, the one I hate, the one I feed will dominate. And if you feed your flesh, you'll be fleshly. You know, you got somebody locked in a cage inside there. You couldn't put him in a cage until you got saved. But when you got saved, God gave you bars and a key, and you can lock him up. You feed him and you let him out, and he will wreak havoc on your life real fast. It looks like you. It talks like you. It doesn't have the same desires as you. It wants nothing but to be in this rotten world and feast on the garbage that's around it. And that's inside of everybody in this room. Right? That's good advice. Make no provision for the flesh. Do not feed that thing. Let him be hungry, weak. If he's weak, he can't fight you. If he's fat, dumb, and happy, you're going to have a hard time getting him back in that cage again. All right? It says, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, remember the Egyptian midwives? You know, Pharaoh said, when you go to the Israelites and they're having a baby, I want you to take the baby and I want you to go drown them in the river. Well, these are women, and even though they were pagans, they were still mamas, and they didn't want to do that. So when they went there, they didn't do what Pharaoh told them to do, and they helped the midwives have the baby. Well, Pharaoh's like, how come all these babies are living? I told you to kill them. You know what the midwives did? They lied. They said, well, when we go there, these women are tough. They already had the baby, and poof, they're gone. Do you know what God did when they did that? God blessed them. Rahab the harlot. Remember, they sent in spies. Spies are not actually legal. God sent in spies to check out Jericho. Well, when Rahab found them, she put them and she hit them on the roof, and the men came up and they said, hey, Rahab, have you seen these two guys? Rahab didn't say, hey, they're under the cover over here. They said, nope. I think they went that way. You know what God did? God blessed her. Now, I'm going to confuse you for just a second. But you know what happened? When the children of Israel disobeyed God and they brought home the accursed thing from Jericho, God allowed a little tiny city to destroy them. If you would have gotten away of that, you'd have been in trouble. Right? So here's the answer to this. As long as what you're doing aligns in what he's doing, then there is time for opposition. But you never want to be the one fighting against what God is doing. Does that make sense? I'm not in control of the United States of America, but we are in control of our own church here, right? So best of our knowledge, those doors are going to stay open. We will buck every law that says don't do that. Now, I'm not going to go, march on Washington, because that's a God thing. It would have to be something that he's doing. Based on where I know this is going, I don't know if that's going to happen in America, right? I mean, they're going to squash that before it ever got started. Why? I mean, the internet has taken away, facial recognition has taken away from the ability of a revolution like we had before to ever take place, because they'll stop it at an idea. And off it goes, well, who let all that stuff happen? God did. But that still's not going to stop me from doing everything I can for God now. And if that, what I'm doing, collides with what they're doing, I'm going to follow the Lord. Right? So some crazy place we get in life, they ever ask me, well, who came to church today? You can 100% believe that this pastor's not going to tell them. Period. Now, if you ask me, well, are you going to start a revolt? I would then say, you know what? I may want to, but the problem is, that said, if I mess with what God is doing and God is going to bring judgment on America, you do not want to be in the one that's going to get in the way of God doing that. But are you still going to be okay? Absolutely. You'll always be okay. Because you fall under another umbrella. You're the child of God. He can protect you when a government can't. He can make sure you're safe when there doesn't look like you should be safe. Because he's also in control of that. Now, I don't know if that solved any problems, and praise the Lord, we're past Romans chapter 13. You're going to have to decide how far you take this or if you take it or not. All right. Brother Arnold, like right when you coughed, I asked you to pray. Can you pray for us?